Steve Gruber Show, American Values with Midwestern Common Sense.
I want to live, I want to give. I've been a miner for a heart of gold. It's these expressions.
It's Thursday.
I never give.
You can find out more at stevegruber.com, as always. I figured we better get a professional in here, you know, somebody who really knows what they're looking at. You know, me looking at the debate, well, you know, I thought the moderators were shabby and their questions were, I mean, would you really, you ask Donald Trump, do you think you're a cartoon character of a presidential candidate? Is that a serious question? I mean, what journalism school did you go to ask a question like that? Anyhow. Another example. So we decided to get Aaron Collin here, the director of the University of Michigan Debate Program and the Debate Institute, to help us understand who the real winners and losers are. Aaron Collin, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, you know, I think you can measure the winners and losers in different ways. I mean, my impression was that Marco Rubio had a very good night. He seemed to hit the high notes. He took on the media. And it seems that the media, and did it, well, am I wrong? When you ask somebody a question about art, do you think you're a cartoon character? And some of the other phraseology and things of the debate last night, it was pretty, I don't know, sophomoric, Bush League, really. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think certainly not the way that I would have started the questioning of the evening with so many important issues. And I think that the previous debates, some of the moderators were praised so much that the performance last night looks even more poor in comparison. You always want the candidates to be the highlights and what everyone focuses on, not the questioners, became one of the major plot lines from last night.
Yeah, I think that the one that really, for me, I mean, I thought Marco Rubio's answer on the best super PAC is the mainstream media, but I thought Chris Christie, when he said, really? We've got $19 trillion in debt, and you want to talk about fantasy football? I thought that, to me, that resonated. And I think that resonated, when you have the red line, green line thing that go up and down, I think that would have resonated well with viewers. But, okay, break it down for me, if you would, sir. Who do you think had the best performance and why?
I think Rubio had the best night for sure. He had a pretty good performance last time, but mainly on foreign policy. This time he really connected with things like the economy and, as you mentioned, the deficit and the debt. And he, with his exchange with Governor Bush, which was something that was, very kind of a lot of hype and attention, I thought he certainly had the better of that exchange. And so for the kind of establishment candidates, major focus there, he had a really strong performance. And I imagine his really solidify himself as kind of a solid third, if not higher, going forward to the next event.
I think he's definitely moving in. You know, the last couple of times around, Carly Fiorina had pretty good debates. Nothing from her last night of significance that I could tell. But I look at Huckabee, Kasich, Rand Paul. None of these folks had particularly good evenings. I thought Kasich had one or two answers that were okay after that. Nothing that's going to move the needle. I think that Donald Trump talking about gun control was a pretty strong answer, saying that he actually has a concealed weapons permit. I thought Dr. Carson talking about a couple of the things, everybody's protected equally under the Constitution, fairly strong answer there. But I think you're right. I think Marco Rubio is the person that stands out in this for the second debate in a row. Just pointed out. So, I mean, it could really move the needle for him.
It could. I mean, he's already was in a pretty solid position of kind of third place in the high single digits or even mid-teens. And he had several memorable lines. You mentioned a few of them, and those are going to play well in the cycle going forward. And so I think the next few days following is going to be a really strong focus on him. And he has reached that top tier status, and really give good next debate and campaign with Trump and Carson, and he's kind of reached that elite status with two really good performances in a row.
You know, he's very young by comparison to some of the other candidates. He has a youthful exuberance, but he is a true believer in America. When you hear his stories, I had a chance to see him in person a couple of times, and he is a true believer. And I think that resonates well with people as well.
Yeah, he talked about his experience, and talked about his family a lot, and really was very relatable. And he's certainly out of all the candidates, the most prepared. He had clearly practiced the most, done the most research. He knew the questions were coming about his senatorial record, about his lack of experience, finances, all of those had prepared answers, and just kind of shows the practice, research, and things like that really pay off when you treat these things seriously and see the benefits that can come from a really strong performance.
And not to mention, I mean, let's give credit to his skill set. He's bright, he's hardworking, and he's talented. Because you could, not just anybody could go through the practice and the preparation and do that well. He did very well. Good point.
You can practice 24 hours a day, but if you don't have the canvas to pull it off in the real high pressure situations and perform, then you're not going to accomplish what you mean. So he certainly did all that, but then also delivered in a really really big stage and really important moment.
So for some of the candidates I mentioned, like Carly Fiorina, Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul, John Kasich, if they don't move the needle here sometime soon, these candidates could be in trouble. So as we look down the road to the next debate, do some of these candidates, is it time to start throwing the Hail Marys?
Yes, we're certainly, we're less than 100 days into the first voting, and we are getting close. But something interesting about the next debate, we've had a really long session. We had 4 weeks, 6 weeks between them, but there's a much shorter turnaround. The next week, the next debate is only about 2 weeks, and so I don't know that you're going to see a lot of action. On the Democratic side, you're down to three, but as long as they can still financially stay in the race, they'll probably continue to be at the debates. But as you mentioned, they're going to have to, with really not much to lose, you may even see more contentious debates coming in the future because it's do or die with voting starting so soon.
Very true, and I greatly appreciate it. Aaron Call, director of the University of Michigan Debate Program and the Debate Institute, thank you for breaking it down for us. I'm sure we will talk again in a couple of weeks because we have more debates ahead, my friend.
All right, thank you.
There you have it, Aaron Call, everybody, here on the Steve Gruber Show, giving you professional analysis of who wins and who loses. He, too, says Marco Rubio was the man last night. Back in a moment.